Easter is a time for resurrection. Unfortunately, in 2021, Republicans are choosing to resurrect Jim Crow voting restrictions. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us every week wherever you find good podcasts, at U as of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. As we've spoken about, a lot of criticism aimed this week at Georgia for restrictive Republican voting bills, including one, somewhat bizarrely, that says you can't give wannabe voters waiting in long lines at some of the polling stations food or drink. The Democrats' For the People Act, fighting back with expanded ballot access, tighter controls for political money, and looking to give DC statehood. This is turning into a defining battle for the Biden administration, Ed.
Well, the statehood part will probably have to be separate, but the other things are common sense. You should be able to go to the polls and vote if you're eligible. Changing the eligibility requirements is what we're really talking about here. That is, showing three pieces of identification. This may really backfire on the Georgians. Because how many Georgians have three pieces of identification? They think it'll only affect the black vote. It won't probably affect the black vote very much because those people who vote already know how to do all this. Mm. It'll affect the low-income vote, and that will affect an awful lot of rural Georgians. Moreover, giving people food and water, I'm sure Coca-Cola we'll figure that one out. You just pass by a stand and you pick up your own food and water. And they still have Sunday voting. So you couldn't give Stacey Abrams a better platform for her next election. They're playing right into her hands. There's nothing there in this bill that affects very much of anything, except, you know, when you're near a bee, you should never stick your finger out. So I think they've stuck their finger out. And if the governor has some other occupation, he should start pursuing it now.
Just one that we did breeze over just there, statehood for the District of Columbia. What does that involve and why are Republicans so against it?
Well, it's 99.8% Democratic. That's why they're against it. And two more Democratic senators, for sure, the filibuster is over. And Washington, D.C. is such a megaphone. You do something in Washington, even a petty crime gets in the national news. So the Republicans are against it. They haven't always been against it. They thought if Puerto Rico came in, it would balance it out. But Puerto Rico still has to vote that they want to be part of the United States. They're getting all the benefits now without all the headaches. We'll see. I think they'll get this when this only takes a majority vote. And two more seats, and when you look at the way the Constitution's set up, where you have to win states as well as votes, a few more votes in another state helps the Democrats a lot. That's why the Republicans are against it.
We've heard the voting rights bill called Jim Crow in a suit, and this week filibustering a Jim Crow relic. Republicans don't want to give this one up for good reason. Where are we on the filibuster fight?
Well, the filibuster fight's interesting because Joe Biden doesn't want to hit on this directly. He's got two people in the Senate who don't want to give it up, Manchin and Sinema. Manchin from West Virginia, so he can be kingmaker, because his state could be disinterested. And Sinema, because she's afraid that if she gives this up, the minimum wage will go way up, and they've got a lot of farm workers in Arizona. So Manchin wants to be kingmaker. You can be sure Manchin's against another state. He wouldn't be kingmaker anymore. I suspect if push comes to shove, the Senate will try to break it. And the reason for that is if you don't do it now, it may be never.
The vaccine rollout in the states is going quite well. Joe Biden has actually increased the goal for the first 100 days to 200 million vaccinations. However, in spite of this, as America gets back to business, there are fears of another surge in COVID cases. I'm not even sure how many waves that is, Ed. I've kind of lost count, but what's going on?
It's more waves than Bondi. The change is that younger people who've gone to Miami Beach and to Laguna and so forth over the holidays are now the people who are getting the coronavirus. Their chances of living are pretty good, but their chances of living well are pretty poor. And that news is going to get out. They think they're invincible. Remember those days, Sean? So I think that the news will get out pretty soon, much like crack cocaine. This is not the way to go. And they will drop out of this. What's really nice about what's happening with this 200 million, it means most adults will have been vaccinated. All the grand people, like me, will have been vaccinated, and only be the younger crowd.
And again, following on from COVID, we have this infrastructure bill. We've discussed this one already. A price tag of $2 million put on
trillion,
it.
This, trillion.
Sorry, trillion, I should say. Yeah, of course. $2 trillion put on it this week. What do we know?
Well, we know it's the same old bill that started back in the Clinton days when I was roaming around in Washington. It's to do just the roads, the bridges, the cleanup, the freeways, which were marvelous and beautiful. Everybody came to America and said, oh, what beautiful highways you have. Now they come and say, what a disaster. So it's getting that cleaned up. But there's a big part, $1 trillion's for that. The other trillion is for climate change.
Mm.
And this is where the climate change skeptics come in and say, we don't want to pay for that. I believe, I'm not certain of this, they can actually go to reconciliation over this. They have another reconciliation bill, and they could go to reconciliation. The Democrats will go there. The Republicans, I think a couple will go along with this, because this is good news for people like Manchin. His people get jobs. This is good news for Sinema. This is good news for Graham. South Carolina needs some jobs there. For a lot of red states, this is very good news because jobs will be coming.
Just want to break it down a little bit further. We've got $650 billion for the likes of clean drinking water, high-speed internet, electrical infrastructure. $621 for a lot of what we think of as infrastructure, roads and buildings and transport, and $400 billion for caretaking for disabled and elderly Americans, which isn't one I'd heard a lot about. Is America having the same issues as Australia right now in terms of caring for an aging population?
Absolutely. The United States is aging very fast. The thing that doesn't help the American people is the fact that the immigrants, both legal and illegal, are keeping up the workers, the workforce. They're not contributing to Social Security very much because there's low wages. But the United States looks younger than it is because of the constant flow of immigrants. If we were Germany or France or Italy or Great Britain, the United States would be in trouble. So it's all white people that are going to get this money. I think it has a chance.
And look, as I say, one that I think you'll really love on this one in terms of future-proofing is the $580 billion for research and development, workplace development, and manufacturing. I mean, this is a favourite area of yours. Just a little briefly, I think we'll unpack this more in the future, but what's it likely to involve?
Well, it'll involve what they call research that is aimed at practice and aimed at problem-solving. When I was in the National Academy, most of our research was theoretical, the vast majority of the research. And this will be more targeted research aimed at solving particular problems related to climate change and the like. The Academy was gutted under Trump. So for the Academy, this is good news. For colleges and universities, this is good news. And for the American people, this is good news. One thing the Americans are much better than anywhere in the world, if they invent something, they can make it happen.
Mm. And we'll talk about George Floyd in a moment. But just before that, I want to touch on Baltimore, which made an announcement this week that they are going to stop policing minor offences such as drug possession, prostitution, traffic violations, even public urination, and instead treat these things as a public health issue. Look, to me, it sounds like they're trying to meet the defund the police crowd in sort of a halfway fashion, and it could be a really great initiative. Any thoughts?
Well, there's another theory. No broken windows.
Mm.
So if you allow too much of this to go on, you create an atmosphere in which other crimes you don't want to happen happen. So what they should do is what we did in Oakland is have an alternative force of people who keep things clean, who go for domestic violence things, wear uniforms, but don't wear guns. So you can't just do this without doing something else. New York City's done a good job with that. Homeless get homeless's care in New York City. So I think there's going to have to be the police force will be expanded, but in different ways. Much like with traffic violations, you'll have someone in uniform, but they will not be wearing a gun, and they will be helping rather than hindering.
And former officer Derek Chauvin is on trial this week over the death of George Floyd, who was killed in 2020 after allegedly trying to pay for cigarettes with a counterfeit $20 bill. Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck for approximately 9.5 minutes in the course of his arrest until he died, and Floyd became yet another statistic, but also a galvanizing figure for the Black Lives Matter movement. Every time I hear about a trial like this one going on, I think Los Angeles, I think 1992, Rodney King. I don't go into these expecting justice to necessarily be served. What do you foresee here?
The interesting thing about this is clearly justice, as you just said, is on trial. And unlike the other cases, and I haven't followed it that closely, but what I have heard from the prosecution, the witnesses are spectacular.
Mm.
The young lady who said, I'm here to provide for this person's health and safety, and I can't see a pulse. Will you let me do that? And she was pushed away. The other man said, well, I saw this happening, and I called the police to stop this policeman. This, gosh, I wish I were a prosecutor. This sounds very good. Now, the issue here is what kind of murder do we have? Second degree, didn't intend it. Third degree, accidental. It's certainly not first.
And in lighter news, the world has watched this week as a giant container ship managed to wedge itself sideways in the Suez Canal, bringing world trade to a grinding halt. The Ever Given ship has now been freed, but losses are looking to exceed $1 billion. Look, my father-in-law, who actually steers these kind of ships, says you couldn't have done this if you tried. And yet, look, it happened. Any thoughts on the kind of vulnerability we've seen in the trade system this week, Ed?
Well, that's exactly it. A lot of people are talking about, do we need this globalism? we'll be able to make shoes here in Australia again. Do we have to buy our jumpers from somebody who made it in Czechoslovakia or something like this? Not putting checks down, but isn't it about time that people started doing stuff on their own? The Suez Canal is pretty young. What is it? Less than about 100 years old or so, 120 years old. So, and they're widening the Panama Canal for these Supermaxes. Maybe it's time to shut this down and people to start making things themselves. It'd be better for globalism in the sense that people will be more resourceful in their homes. I think the same thing for the vaccine. Why ship it around the world? Why not just ship the formula? I think we might be, this is kind of another call for localism and a good kind of localism. So I'm looking forward to people doing the right thing.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you might find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.